Thank you, Colm. So good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Hope everyone is staying safe. This is Ahmed Hazem from EFG Hermes Research, and we are pleased to welcome you today to the Nakilat 2020 Results Conference Call. Today's call will include a recap on the 4Q results and the full-year results, followed by a market update and a Q&A session. With us on the line today are Mr. Hani Abu Akir, CFO of Nakilat, and Mr. Fotios Derita, head of the Investor Relations Department. With that, I'd like to hand over the call to Fotios. Please, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Nakilat's Fiscal Year 2020 Conference Call. For your convenience, the transcript of this call and presentation will be available on the company's Investor Relations section of our website. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. Many of our remarks contain forward-looking statements, and for factors that cause actual results to differ materially from these forward-looking statements, please refer to the slide 2 on the Investor Relations presentation. In addition, some of our remarks contain non-IFRS financial measures. A reconciliation of this is included in the note of this presentation. Nakilat CFO Hani Abu Akir will begin today's call with a discussion of company's highlights and followed by a brief discussion of group earning results. After, I will give you an overview of the LNG shipping market and IR updates. And finally, Nakilat CFO Hani Abu Akir will walk you through the company's business outlook. We will then be happy to open the floor for further questions. Now, I would like to hand it over to the CFO of Nakilat, Mr. Hani Abu Akir. Hani, please go ahead.
Thank you, Fotios, and thank you, everyone, and welcome to Nakilat Full Year 2020 Earnings Results Presentation. Together with the Head of Investor Relations, Mr. Fotios Derita, I will guide you through today's presentation. I hope that everyone and your family remain safe and healthy through this period of COVID-19 pandemic. Before we can discuss Nakilat's financial achievements of 2020, I would like to take the time to thank all our seafarers and shore-based staff for their continued dedication to maintain the business continuity and bringing clean and reliable energy to the world without disruption. Even though that the global economy and the LNG shipping market felt the negative implication of the COVID-19 pandemic for the majority of the 2020, Nakilat continued to demonstrate a strong resilience as reflected in its outstanding operational and positive financial performance during this challenging year. Nakilat's resilient business model has allowed us not to only to navigate through this challenging and uncertain environment, but also to generate a sustainable return to our shareholders. Despite of the COVID-19 pandemic challenges and uncertain economic environment, Nakilat recorded a highest profit of 1.16 billion riyal since inception, which is translate into an increase of 15.7% fiscal year 2020. In line with Nakilat's commitment to reward sustainable return to its long-term shareholders, yesterday the company's board of directors has recommended a cash dividend equivalent of 11 dirhams per share, an increase of 10% compared to the same period of last year as a result of the company's strong financial performance in 2020. So first of all, I'm pleased to announce that 2020 was a very successful year for Nakilat in terms of executing our strategy, which has resulted in the safe completion of the second phase of fleet management transition involving 7 LNG carriers, delivery of 1 Megi LNG new builds. The second Megi new build will come in on January 21st, or came on January 21st, as well as the first FSRU transition to Nakilat ship management and achieving high profitability for our shareholders in spite of the extremely severe business environment and challenges due to the pandemic. Now, turning to slide 8 and 9 of the presentation, the company achieved a strong net profit of 1.16 billion compared to 1 billion during the same period of 2019, which translated to an increase of 15.7% which was supported by the vast majority of our LNG shipping segment, wholly owned and jointly owned, contracted with a revenue that are fixed daily with a very minimal exposure to market conditions and ensure extremely high rate of fleet utilization. And that is despite of the weak performance related to our shipyard entity and one-time write-down of legacy costs pertaining to investment in JV and subsidiary at inception, shipping and support segment showed a positive trend. In similar positive trend, Nakilat EBITDA was up 4.3% year over year to reach 3.2 billion riyal. This continues to be aligned with Nakilat's goal to maximize sustainable bottom line growth and create value to our shareholders and stakeholders. Other significant factors that supported Nakilat 2020 bottom line were the lower G&A by 28% compared to 2019. I would just also like to highlight that even our operating costs, apple-to-apple comparison, without having the impact of the INSW acquisition in 2019, which is used to be reported at joint venture levels and not consolidated by line by line, our actual operating cost for operating our fleet was down actually 4%. All of these outcomes have achieved due to Nakilat management emphasis on cost-saving initiatives and the delivery of the 10, including the two Megi, including the second Megi on January 21st, under the management of Nakilat Shipping Qatar Limited. This has improved our economy of scales in a way that we efficiently deliver our services in order to maintain healthy cash flow and return to our shareholders. Now, I would like to talk about Nakilat financial position by turning to the slide 10 and 11. You can see that Nakilat strong, healthy balance sheet with a cash and cash balance of almost 2.9 billion riyal, as well as a total asset of 32.6 billion riyal. As well, we can see our scheduled debt amortization continues the repayment with a freeing up our balance sheet capacity. In 2020, we repaid almost close to 1.16 billion riyal, and we added a new loan of 910 million to fund a new business opportunity, so the net borrowing reached at 21 billion riyal. Last but not least, Nakilat current ratio is at 1.41%, and the return on equity has increased to reach now 12.3%. due to the full utilization of our growing fleet and our efforts at cost savings. Now, let me hand it back to Fotios to take you through an overview of the LNG shipping market and companies' IR development. So, Fotios, if you can please take it further.
Thank you so much, Hani. Before I discuss with you the overview of the LNG shipping market for 2020, I would like to take a moment and mention that we intensify our efforts of promoting excellence in investor relations and enhancing corporate value through effective communication with the global investment community in order to ensure that Nakilat's attractive investment proposition is spread among global investors in 2020. Our strong commitment of promoting the world's best practices on investor relations reward us with a record number of investors' participation in Nakilat's quarterly earnings results conference call for 2020. And in addition, on top of that, Nakilat's inclusion of MSCI Large Cap Index, which demonstrated the great confidence of global capital markets in Nakilat. These achievements are testament for investor relations commitment on an open and transparent communication with the global investors and all stakeholders of the company. The global economy and energy demand has, as well as LNG shipping market, felt the negative ramification of COVID-19 pandemic for the majority of 2020, as we said previously. In the first quarters of 2020, when the COVID-19 pandemic caused lockdowns in Asia, in Europe, leading to economic decline and a fall in energy demand, the LNG arbitrage closed implying much less demand for US LNG to be transported in Asia, which were translated to a smaller ton-mile demand for LNG shipping. However, since then the picture has changed dramatically. Initially, the impact of the pandemic started to ease, and the economic recovery brought a little bit higher demand and increased LNG prices, pushing the margin back to into positive territory in the last months of 2020. According to Affinity, the total global energy exports reached to 359 million tons at the end of 2020, which is 3% higher from 2019. The pandemic led to recession remains in force and continue to impact the global demand. However, strong demand growth came from East, particularly in China with 16% and India 20% year on year. Drewry projects that LNG trade to continue to expand at a CAGR rate of 4.5% in the period of 2020-2025 due to the strong demand in power generation. Now, I would like to give you an overview of the global energy shipping market for the fourth quarter of 2020, page 13 and 14. As you can see in this page, at the fourth quarter of 2020 and January of 2021, a combination of factors such as a very cold weather, a rapid rise in LNG price in Asia, significant transit delays at the Panama Canal, and the lack of LNG shipping availability tonnage on the market has positively impacted the charter rates in the fourth quarter of 2020 and January 2021. According to SSY, the current spot charter rates for the new technology vessels like MEGI and XDFs are around $90,000 per day. The DFDs are $71,000 per day, and the steam vessels at $52,000 per day. The term contract, which dominate the LNG shipping chartering, has not been impacted substantially like the spot market. SSY assessed the one-year LNG shipping charter rates at $60,000 for the new technology vessels, $55,000 per day for DFDs, and $33,000 per day for the steams, which is a very helpful benchmark when an owner discussed the term charter opportunities. Now, please turn to the slide 14 of our presentation. In the 2020, the LNG new build cost have stabilized at the average price of $186 million. Furthermore, you can see that the global energy fleet has 543 vessels in operation and another 138 conventional vessels on the order book until 2024 as per Clarksons. This implies an increase of 25% of the total LNG fleet in terms of number of vessels as of December 2020. It is worth of mentioning that the 90% of the existing LNG carriers are chartered with the term contracts of more than 6 months, and the remaining is available to the spot market, as per SSY. The overall consensus among the participants is that the LNG shipping market will continue to be volatile in the upcoming quarters due to the following different factors such as COVID-19 pandemic, which is still ongoing, new build orders, fleet utilization, trade arbitrage, and Panama Canal transit restrictions, etc. Now, I would like to hand it over to Mr. Hani Abouaker, our CFO, to give you an insight into Nakilat's business outlook. Hani, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Fotios, and thanks for the brief about the LNG shipping market during the fourth quarter of 2020. I will move in to slide 16, and I will shortly discuss about Nakilat business outlook before we open the floor for questions and answers session. Committing on our growth strategy, Nakilat has put considerable efforts to expand its current excellent in-house ship management operation. For this reason, Nakilat has recruited workforce to continue to deliver a first-class services to its customer around the clock and to ensure the reliable
LNG transportation services being provided. In 2021, we expect to see another successful year for Nakilat due to the management focus to expand its own core LNG shipping businesses and to persist on control closely its operating expenses. In the second half of 2021, we expect to receive the third new build LNG carrier that is jointly owned and is going to be under Nakilat commercial and technical management. In addition, we are working closely with our shipyard team to mitigate any adverse exposure to this segment. This shipyard business is expected to see an improvement in the following quarters in 2021 due to the normalized business environment that we have seen, that we expect to see compared to 2020. And before we open for questions, let me say that everything we do is rooted into our own culture of focusing on the long-term perspective and contributing to more equitable, resilient future and to benefit our clients and stakeholders and to benefit also the people in the communities where we live, where we work, and where we operate. I firmly believe that the effort of 2020 will position Nakilat to deliver value to all of our stakeholders over the long term. With that, I will ask the operator to open the floor for questions so we can provide the answers hopefully right now for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. For those who have joined online, please press the flag icon. When preparing to ask a question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. We have a question from Santos Gupta from Brewery. Santos, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Hani and Fotios. So my question is primarily on the fourth quarter. So if I look on the quarter-on-quarter basis, I believe the share of joint venture earnings have declined from, I think, I believe, Qatari million, 133.7 million in 3Q20 to 55.9 million approximately in 4Q20. So I would like to understand what is driving this decline. That is my first question. Second question is, I understand that you completed your second fleet transition plan phase sometime in November last year. So, and I believe there are approximately 7 or 8 more vessels that there is a potential that you can transition. So, by when we should expect those transition plan to start? So these are the two questions I have. Thank you.
Okay, so maybe I'll take the first questions, and Fotios, if you want to take the second one, I'm fine with that. Yes, it is. We have seen a drop in our segment reporting for that jointly owned. That's mainly due to two factors I talked about. One is we have one time off write-off related to deferred assets for some of the startup financing of our joint venture and subsidiaries. Okay, as part of our assessment each year, these assets or these deferred assets related to financing of the joint venture and the subsidiaries were identified. We believe as a management that maybe they should not have met the capitalization criteria required under the international IFRS standards, and that's something that was done before back in 2007 or 8. As such, we have evaluated and we thought it is prudent for us to de-recognize these balances and correctly provide what is exactly as Nakilat financial position. Also, we had an provision, we reversed a provision that was taken last year because of the winding down of our one of our shipyard facilities, which is the NDSQ, If you add both of them together, one was 150 million written off and one was 54. So total net impact was around writing down of 95 million. So this is why we have seen in the fourth quarter that drop. I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Hello, Santos. Good afternoon. Regarding your second question, yes, as you know, we have completed the second phase of transition from Stasco. Stasco initially had managed 25, at the beginning when we had 25 wholly owned vessels, they were managing. From the completion of the first and the second phase, we have taken the 17. Now we expect the remaining to come at some time. And plus we have also another two new build vessels that we expect to take them. The third new build vessel is expected on the second half of 2021. And the third new build is expected in January 2022. So, of course, as you have seen previously, even with COVID-19, we managed very well to transition all of these vessels in a very challenging year, on time and on budget. And hopefully the conditions will improve with COVID-19 the following this year, and at the same time we'll try to do our planning for the remaining vessels as well. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask any further questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. We have a question from Siddharth Sabu from Arqaam Capital. Siddharth, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead. Siddharth, your line is now open. Please ask your question. Siddharth, your line, can you please check whether your line is muted? Okay, unfortunately, I'm going to move to the next call, next question from Waruna Kumaraj from Synco. Waruna, your line is now open.
Hi, this is Waruna Kumarage from Synco. My question is on the debt repayment schedule. So, do you expect, how do you see the outlook of debt repayment in the next say five to 10 years? So, when the debts, do you expect them to be repaid over the course of, as per the schedule? Because the thing is, this gets muddled because of some JV acquisition that you make, which tends to increase the debt levels plus new vessel acquisition. But as per the fleet which was standing say by in 2014, do you expect that debt stock to be paid down gradually?
Yeah, for sure, absolutely. We believe that the amortization of the debt that we take to buy these vessels, or one for at least for wholly owned or even for the jointly owned, will be paid off within the 25 years firm charter contract that we currently have. So, and even if we have to any refinance in the interim, we still have the schedules being built based on to match that 25 years charter, the contract that we currently have with the charters. So yes, you should expect all that kind of debt to be paid off as we are coming closer and closer, which is another 12 years, to the maturity of the firm charter, which is 25 years, even though that we have an option plus five.
I hope I did answer your question, and I hope that is makes sense.
Yeah, thanks for the clarification. And in terms of the interest rates of contractual rates of these loans, since they were agreed upon, say, 5 to 10 years back, under the current low interest rate environment, do you plan to refinance any of these or any other way that you can benefit from lower interest rates?
Yeah, it depends on the where we are. In some of the wholly owned, okay, anyway, we're already, like, as we said, we have almost 75% hedged, 25 to 30% unhedged in the group level. On the wholly owned, maybe the potential of refinancing is limited. However, in some of our jointly owned or even some of the vessels that we acquired with INSW, they are due for refinancing in the next couple of 2 years, so maybe 2022, 2023. And then potentially we might really enjoy some of the lower costs on these vessels. And if any other joint ventures that they have similar kind of refinancing that is coming up, they might as well enjoy the lower rates compared to what was the rate when it was locked back in 2006 or 7.
And how may I ask how significant is this refinancing opportunity in the JVs?
The JVs, we don't have as cannot give you how significant it is coming up, but if you want to, just for the time being, for the next couple of years, you can model the INSW that we really acquired, and these four vessels will come for refinancing very soon, so the next 2 years, and that's where potentially is going to be the amount. For the other ones, we haven't disclosed it, to be honest with you. And we will see how is the rate, because I cannot really commit if rates goes up tomorrow or comes down, and if we decided to continue with the high rate, I really don't want to avoid to go further than more than 2 to 3 years. If there's something that I can see and I'm comfortable to give more information about, I'm happy to do that. And that's where I talked about the INSW1, because they are fixed almost quite well, almost higher than 90%. When we're refinancing them in 2022, 2023, assuming the interest rate is below what it was in 2006 or 7, then a lot of saving hopefully might achieve then. The remaining ones, I think it's also within our control, it's also with our joint ventures, and if there's any sort of more clarity as we move on in the future, we're usually happy to really give more color about who are they and what significant it is.
We currently have no further questions, so I'd like to hand back to Ahmed Hazem for closing statements.
Thank you, Colin, and thank you, Mr. Henny and Fotios. With that, I'd like to thank you very much for this call, and if you have any closing statements, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you again for all of you for joining us this afternoon and for your continuing interest in Nakilat. I hope that Nakilat 2020 results, it's again the direct of our commitment to serve our clients and our stakeholder. And hopefully 2021 will provide us another successful year. And again, we're happy always, to answer your questions and clarifications, and Fotios and the team is available to do that, and also myself if it's needed. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, guys, for participating. All your questions have been received and will communicate to the top management. Again, stay safe, you and your family. Thanks so much.